as someone watching for years and some of my favorite television shows, it's almost implausible to believe you were dealing with osteoarthritis while you were doing those shows. How did you find out that's what you had, and what did you do about it?
You know, I first of all, my father had his both of his hips replaced, and so when I started having pain, I suspected that I might be, a chip off the old block. But it was, I'd limp. I became very, very dependent on ibuprofen, on Advil, which is a tremendous anti-inflammatory. And I in a while there, I know I was taking 20 a day, at least 20 a day.
Wow.
To make it through the day. And since it was an over-the-counter, painkiller, he just assumed it was fine to be taking that much. It was when I was pregnant with my third child, working full-time on Malcolm in the Middle, and my third baby was born in 2002, and I realized that I had to stop taking Advil through the pregnancy, and that's when I realized how bad my hip was, because I wasn't numbing the pain anymore, and I was also, I was 46, almost 47 years old, gaining 70 pounds with this baby, all on a bad hip, when I couldn't take it. There was no relief. That I realized how bad it was. And so Mary Louisa was born, my daughter was born, and I nursed her, and I finished up that season of Malcolm in the Middle. And literally the day after we finished filming for that season, I literally checked in the hospital the next day and had that hip replaced. And that's part of the reason I was very glad the people from DePew asked me to join this campaign to talk about this, is because I waited far too long. I was in pain for far too long. And when I realized that the option that was open to me, having a total hip replacement, was such a great and relatively easy endeavor, I just wish I had done it years earlier.
Well, you mentioned the campaign, and it's Anatomy for Movement Experience. I love the name. What does it mean?
It's kind of a mouthful. what we're trying to, the movement experience, the experience of getting up out of a chair, getting in and out of a car, walking upstairs, looking, the anatomy of looking at what's involved in that process of the movement we have all through our lives. Yeah, it's an exhibit that's traveling around the country. I'm going to be visiting, it's in Los Angeles today, and one of the things they have there is a 30-foot-long part of your leg from your knee to your hip. It's a, and people can actually walk through it and understand a little bit about how those joints are connected to what muscles, to how this whole thing holds together and works. And if you're having problems with your knee or with your hip, you kind of understand by walking through this literally 30-foot-long femur, I guess, part of your body and what's at play and where relief could come. So if people go to the website, anatomyofmovementexperience.com, they can find out where this exhibit is going next, and there's lots of great information. Doctors that would be available to in their area that would be able to talk to them about pain they might be having, and just a list of resources and symptoms that they might be experiencing. So we're just trying to get the word out about that, and hopefully people won't have to suffer the way I did.
Well, this is a really big issue for family caregivers. We lift our loved ones, we move heavy equipment, we struggle with wheelchairs, but the first thing we don't do is care for ourselves. So,
Gary, you really hit it on the head. Was that I just thought I'm too young. This can't be happening to me. I'm too busy. I've got these children, this job. I'll just take more. Advil, and I would just organize my day so I could do as little as possible. One of the things I remember was going to the shopping mall and driving to the mall, and I couldn't even walk through the length of the mall. I would park, I'd go and get what I needed, then I'd go back to the car, drive my car to the other side of the mall, get what I needed, and it was just a way of getting around it. You would just drive, or coming down the steps in the morning, the second floor where the bedroom was, I would take down absolutely everything I needed for the day. Books, change of clothes, sunglasses, anything that I might need, I would bring down in the morning when I came downstairs, because the idea of going upstairs to get anything was such a horrible idea. I didn't want to have that happen until it was nighttime and had to go to bed at night. So, you know, I think when people are busy, they do find a million excuses not to take care of themselves. You know, I was relatively young. I was in my 40s and early 50s. I guess I was in my 40s with all of these. But it's changed my life. I mean, I never think of those things anymore. You know, I get up and I go whenever I need to go and do what I need to do. And with three children, my children are 13, 11, and 8, you know, they need a full-time mom. And I'm glad physically I can be there for them. And it's a result of, you know, these great hip replacements that I got. And, you know, a company called DePew, who made the implants that were used in me. And I just encourage people to get in touch with their doctor and see if this could be in the plan for them.
Yeah, I just actually spoke with a gentleman who had a hip replacement recently, and he said that it seemed like his life started over. He didn't have to make the walk around and the workarounds anymore. You know, denial's not just a river in Egypt anymore. So,
yeah, it really is. And he would do things, you know, I remember I would come into a room and I would immediately assess out in the room where there was a doorknob and where there was a counter, and you would kind of walk from, it's like being in a pinball machine, you know, go over here and hang on here for a couple seconds, go over here and hang on here, and you just, yeah, denial is a really good way of putting it. And it is just such a, the operation is really, you know, it's only about an hour and a half. There are two procedures. I've had both of them. One is a traditional procedure where you really are, there's quite a large incision up the side of your leg. And the other is something called the anterior approach, which is what my second hip was, which is a very small scar in the front of your hip. And that recovery time was even less than the traditional way. So people should really talk to doctors about what is the best thing for them if this is in fact what they need.
Well, that is, you. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's we're scared, we're afraid of taking ourselves out of the war zone. What happens now if my loved one, I can't care for me because how do I, you know, get someone else to care for my loved one? And if you're saying that it's a relatively short procedure, it's a relatively short recuperation, and afterwards you're like new.
You know, my mother my mother's 84, and she was experiencing knee pain, and a doctor said, oh, you need to have your knee repaired. But even with her physical therapy, she never got any relief from the knee, and I took her to my doctor here in California, to the one who did my hip, and he said, there's nothing wrong with your knee. You need a hip replacement. And she was, you know, she's 84, my father's 87. My mother had seen both of my father's hip replacements in the 80s when it was quite a different experience. And we found her a doctor in Milwaukee who was recommended by my doctor here in California. And yet she put it, you know, well, I don't want to go in the winter because I don't want Daddy to have to drive on icy streets when he comes to visit me in the hospital. You know, there's excuses like that. But she is a great gardener. And getting on her hands and knees and digging in dirt in the beautiful Wisconsin summer in her garden is so important to her. And she finally did it. She couldn't believe how easy it was. She couldn't believe that she was back to her garden. I was just in Milwaukee yesterday, and her garden is as gorgeous as ever. And you know, I'm just so grateful that she screwed on her courage and went ahead and done, because it really was so. It was not a big deal, and she knows that now.
Yes. But all it took was talking.
Yes, it did. And also for me, having my first one done and knowing what that experience was going to be, when it came to having my second one done, you know, it was a much easier decision. I went to the doctor as soon as I started feeling a twinge of pain. He did an x-ray and said, yeah, this one's going too, and I said, let's just do it. And I said, how soon can you do it? And he said, are you free on Tuesday? You know, and I went right in, had it done, was home in 2 days. You know, it's unbelievable. He had even said, you know, he said, we don't need to put you out with a general. And I said, does that mean I'm going to be awake? And I said, I don't want to hear the sound.
It's really the drill.
Put me out. But, you know, they've got this down to a, they've got it down to a science now. It's just remarkable. And as I said, so when you know the incredible relief you get from having a bad joint replaced, I just really encourage people to go check it out and not to be frightened. I mean, it's always frightening going in the hospital to a certain extent. I actually love hospitals because I love hospital food.
You like Jell-O, I guess.
I am the only person alive. I looked forward to those meals. I love mashed potatoes. I love Jell-O. I love those peaches they get out of a can.
The green Jell-O with the stuff, who knows what's in it, so that's good. Well,
maybe I didn't even need my hips replaced. I just wanted to go in and get the food.
I think it could be that. Maybe next time just go to the cafeteria. I don't know. It could be cheaper. But
right.
You know, I always like to ask this one particular question, and that is, if you are in a elevator with a family caregiver and you went up, you know, you had about a minute, and you had one piece of advice you wanted to impart to that family caregiver, your most important elevator speech to a family caregiver before they walked off, what would that be?
Don't lose your sense of humor.
That's a good one.
You know, my grandmother lived with my parents for the last 5 years of her life. At 98, she was still living in her own house, doing her own cooking and cleaning, and my parents finally decided at 98 she just needed to be living with them. And I've been amazed at what between 98 and 103, how those last 5 years were spent. I mean, she was so lucky, and my parents know how lucky they were that they were able to take care of her. She lived with my parents in a, you know, in a really nice room off the kitchen with her own bathroom. But it gets trying and it gets tough. And when my mom and her mother, my grandmother, could laugh about it, it just kind of reminded you that you were really all in this together, and this was a family member that you just loved, and what a blessing it was that they were still with you and that you were able to help them in. I mean, there's nothing greater than being able to take care of an elder in those final years. And I think my mother and father being able to laugh at some of the crazy, embarrassing things that were happening got them through some tough patches.
You know, I collect the stories from family caregivers, real stories, real humorous stories of things that they went through or their loved ones went through, and it's the end of my speech at the Fearless Caregiver Conferences, and there is nothing better, more real, funnier than a true story that happened to and with and about a family caregiver, and it a lot of times only a family caregiver can really, truly understand the depths of the humor. So I haven't actually had anybody answer humor before, and I kind of should have suspected you would, but...
but you know, I'll tell you, there was one time my cousin Ellen was getting married, and my mother was having the wedding shower for her. And this was before my grandmother was living with my parents, but she had been in the hospital. She had cancer, had recovered from cancer. She was 89. She was she was actually in my bed, my childhood bed, and my mother was making shrimp salad. Now, in my family, you don't just buy shrimp. You buy raw shrimp. You boil it in shrimp boil, which is water with spices, and then you peel and clean all the shrimp. And my grandmother could not stand being bedridden, and as she was recovering from this cancer, she always insisted on, let me do something. Let me help. I don't want to be in this bed. And we said, Grandma, just take it easy. You know, we can take care of everything. And she said, no, bring that shrimp up here to my bed. I'm going to clean that shrimp while I'm lying here in bed. And we just said, we'd laugh thinking, can you imagine what a bed would smell like? You know, you've got all that stinky shrimp water running down your arms, and you've got shrimp peel all over the place. And we all laughed so hard at the idea of Grandma just so wanting to participate in getting the food ready that she was willing to peel shrimp in bed. She was having, she also decided at one point that she just wasn't going to eat anymore. And my mother said it was very difficult because every day you'd go in and, Mother, would you like something to eat? No, no. Mother, would you like something to eat? And after about a week, my mother went in and said, Mother, would you like something to eat? And my grandmother opened her eyes and said, what do you have?
Yep.
What do you got?
I'll give you one. I was in our Boynton Beach Fearless Caregiver Conference, and I was asking for these questions, and a lady stood up, and she said her husband has a memory disorder, like, you know, stage 6 of 9 stages or so. And the doctor, the neurologist said, okay, Mr. Smith, you know, I'd like you to spell the word world, W-O-R-L-D. Spells W-O-R-L-D. I can't even say the word, let alone spell it. So he said, the doctor says, okay, Mr. Smith, that's great. Now backwards. And this lady swears this is the truth, that her husband turned around, his back to the doctor, and said W-O-R-L-D.
Oh, I didn't steal that one from you.
You can't, as they say, you can't make this stuff up.
Right, right.
Thank you so much, Jane. This has really been fun, and I think that you're going to help just a lot of people who need the help and maybe were afraid to even ask for it.
Good. Well, thank you so much for helping us get the word out.
All right. Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.